We get things underway in grand fashion this afternoon. Our first guest on the program today is the author of a number of books, including the Pulitzer Prize-winning Olive Kittredge, The Burgess Boys, My Name is Lucy Barton, and her newest, Anything is Possible. It's a real treat for us to welcome Elizabeth Strout back to the program. Liz, thanks so much for coming back with us again.
Oh, it's my pleasure, really. Thank you for having me.
And thank you again for making me cry like a baby in the middle of reading a book.
Oh, you're so welcome.
I was doing pretty well, you know, little bit at times, and then I got to the story at the end with Abel, and I was gone.
I'm glad to hear that, Abel Blaine. Yes.
Hi, Liz. This is Bruce. One of the things that I think was so wonderful about this book, you've clearly been able to do something that the rest of us can't do on a regular basis, and that is write a book that is has these encapsulated stories, but feels when it's done like I've seen a motion picture. That each story seems like a great scene. Now I know you don't always do things in order. That you don't always
right.
How much of this book was written out of order, if you will?
The whole thing was written out of order. I just, you know, the first story I think was the last one I finished. That gives you some indication right there. And, I wrote many scenes of the stories at the same time. So I would, you know, write a piece of Abel Blaine's story, and then I would jump back and think, okay, let's see what the sister's up to, you know. So I don't write anything from beginning to end, including a story.
One of the things that I was thinking about when I was reading this was how back in 67, Bart said that, you know, we were writing in the age of exhaustion. And it seems to me that sometimes we're writing these days in the age of ADD. And I found this is a book I thought, boy, to my friends who say they don't read novels, I wanted to give them this and say, read each story a little bit at a time, and you'll see right. how a narrative works. Are you finding that this is a really good way to write?
You know, that's an interesting observation about, you know, this writing in age of ADD. And I think that I'm not conscious of that as I write. I'm only writing the way I need to write at the time that I'm writing whatever it is I'm writing. But I do think that this lends itself to, you know, people who can't concentrate, you know, for a full load at a time, that I do see things in terms of scenes. And each of these pieces or stories or whatever one wants to call them is, you know, a scene in and of itself. And so it's interesting that you say that you saw it as, you know, almost like a movie.
I'm so struck by this, and maybe it's because I'm a fairly recent dad, but so many of these characters struggle with overcoming either who they were as children or who other people thought they were.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I have always been interested in, well, first of all, I'm just interested in people, endlessly interested in people. And then I've also always been interested in the whole nature versus nurture thing, because I think that we are born a self. And then I think that, you know, the forces of nature come at us and nurture, you know, or not being nurtured. So that combination is always one that's complex and interesting to me as a writer. So, you know, yes, these are people who have a variety of backgrounds, and their ability to overcome them or not overcome them is probably already in place.
And even Lucy, and it was so wonderful for her to come back and to see where she is in her life. But even though she's been able to physically escape that difficult childhood, when she goes back home, it's always there rearing its head.
It's too much for her. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And her siblings are living it.
You've created in Amgash your own world and done it with, I think, just stunning precision. I feel like I've been to the town, even though I haven't. And I was thinking, I was thinking about the way that sometimes as writers we step outside the geography we know best and try and create another place. And Amgash is obviously very different from the Maine in which so many of your other pieces are set.
Right.
And I know you went out there, but do you, when you're writing in New York, do you see the place? Have you got like a physical thing you can see?
Yes, I very much do. And we did make a number of trips out there. And, you know, Amgash is a fictional town. I never saw, you know, a town exactly like Amgash, but I saw bits and pieces that very much stay in my mind, and I do see it very clearly when I'm writing it. So it was important for me to, you know, to make those trips.
We're talking with Elizabeth Stroud on Downtown. Her latest book is entitled Anything is Possible. I know, I don't know, do writers play favorites with characters? I want so badly for things to work out well, especially for Patty and for Charlie.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. You know, I love them. I really love that, those two people, and especially Charlie McCauley. He just, oh, I don't know what it is about him, but he really had my heart, Charlie. I mean, they all do. They really all do. But for some reason, Charlie McCauley and then Patty, you know, I had to give them a shot.
Well, and they're all such, at their core, even, you know, even Lucy's sister, who when they first reconnect is certainly a bit standoffish, to say the least. But all of these people, there's just a core of decency and humanity.
I think so. I think that that's absolutely true. And you know, the title Anything is Possible really means, you know, not that, you know, I'm going to be Queen of England or that the earth is going to be flat or anything like that, but it's possible for people of very different lives and backgrounds to have these moments of grace. And that's what I think happens in these stories, that you know, each story has its moment of grace that comes to somebody who's probably least expecting it. And Lucy's sister, she is a fundamentally decent person. She really is. And that woman that, you know, knows her in the nursing home where she works recognizes that, the patient in the nursing home, you know, so.
And those, it would seem from the book, those are the victories in life. It's not about the wealth. It's not about the acclaim. It's those moments of grace, those moments when the world opens up and suddenly makes sense to you.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I think that's what was happening in these stories.
These characters are all so fully realized and so fully realized so quickly. Do you ever sit down and have conversations with them? I know this happens to me when I'm writing. I start talking to one of my characters. Do you find yourself in conversation with these people?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know that I actually talk to them, but I'm so connected to them as I'm writing that I might as well be in conversation with them, because, you know, they're very, very real to me as I write them.
And how hard is
I have to remind myself that they're not real, actually.
How hard is it to let go of them when the project comes to an end?
Yeah, I never quite do let go of them. I mean, they're gone from my desk and they're out in the world, and I, you know, wish the best for them, because they continue to feel very real to me.
I was wondering about that a little bit. I'm glad Rich asked that question. I once asked the author Brad Barkley about a story my students had read, and they said, I really want to know what happens to these people next. And Brad said, no, I'm done with them. that story's over. And then he said, but, well, I guess this might happen. And I wondered if part of that was the process of moving from Lucy Barton to this book. Was it that there were just things left undone, or was it that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No. That was basically my point. Yeah.
Right. No, I started to write these stories at the same time that I was writing My Name is Lucy Barton. And it's because when Lucy and her mother are talking in the hospital about people from Lucy's past, I became interested, and I thought, well, what happened to those pretty nicely girls? And so I would jot down a scene, you know, of one of the nicely girls and what they were up to at the moment. And then I would think, what happened to Mississippi Mary? Let's go find out. So, you know, I wasn't done with these people. And that's, you know, where the book came from.
Liz, I'm always fascinated about the discipline of writers, and Bruce and I have talked about this a lot here on the program. Everybody has a method that works for them. Do you allot time each day to sit down and write? What's your means of operation out there?
You know, I pretty much try to write first thing in the morning for, you know, maybe 4 or 5 hours. But I'm not writing that whole time. That would not be true, but I'm sitting thinking about them. And then, you know, so I try and work, you know, 5 days a week. It's my job, and that's what I try and do. And then but I'll go back to it sometimes, you know, later in the afternoon, take a peek at it. But that's always risky because, you know, if I didn't work that well, then I realize in the afternoon, you know, I'm going to have a bad evening. But that's pretty much that's what I try and do is the mornings, and I'll put lunch off as long as I can.
One of the one of the other things I was wondering about to follow up on that that Rich said is that when you're writing these stories, I tell people all the time that poets have drawers full of unfinished poems because some things don't get finished. When you're writing the scenes and the sketches and stuff, how do you keep them organized in your mind? I would think that would be really difficult. I find that very difficult to do.
Right, and I honestly don't know the answer to that, but somehow there is a part of my mind that seems to know what I'm doing, even when I don't consciously know what I'm doing. So as long as I keep focusing on scenes that seem to really have a heartbeat to them, then I feel like that's a good day's work. If I can produce, you know, a scene or two that has the real thing in it, then they will eventually connect. And I do, on some level, understand, okay, this will be connected to Abel Blaine, and we're going to come back and see Dottie here, you know. So I'm honestly not sure how I do that. That's the honest answer.
Do you come up with your characters internally or externally? Do you see people in the world and see elements of their personality and think that would be an interesting character trait to explore? How does that work for you?
You know, that's, I do both. I might see somebody, you know, on the street and just have them physically stay with me. And it might take me a couple of years even before I use their body, you know, as a reference point, and then infuse them with a character. Other people come to me internally, and I will just sort of feel like, you know, like Patty Nicely, for example, she just sort of arrived from my inside, and Charlie McCauley as well. And so it can happen both ways.
Do you find that where you are physically changes the way you write in any way?
You know, that's an interesting question, and I don't think so. I think that I've always, from a very young age, you know, I've been writing for so many years, that I think I can write pretty much anywhere, actually. I know I can. So I just can do that.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because you hear so many writers who say all the time, well, I need to get back to my office and my place to write and this and that. And I think, well, why? Because you're thinking about other places all the time. Why couldn't you write something? I mean, I understand why you might not write.
Exactly.
I was curious about that because you have both a Maine home and a New York home, and you couldn't be more different in some ways in terms of location, but it always seems your writing is so seamlessly good that I just had to ask that question. I just wanted to,
yeah, right,
to do it.
No, that's a good question. I've thought about it. I mean, I can honestly can write in a hotel room, and I can write, you know, I used to write scenes on the subway. If they came to me, I'd write them down. So, you know, I think I've learned from very early on that, you know, I can write anywhere.
Well, the turnaround at least seemed to me so quick between Lucy Barton and Anything Is Possible.
Right.
What are you working on right now? Can you tell us?
Oh, I'd love to, but I can't, because the reason I can't is that, you know, the writing for me has to have a furtiveness to it as I'm working on it. You know, I have to feel secretive about it somehow, and it has to be a private thing because the pressure has to build. And it's like, if I tell somebody, then it releases the pressure. So, but I would love to tell you.
But then you'd have to kill us, and I understand completely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Liz, it's just a remarkable book filled with such unforgettable characters.
Thank you very, very much. I'm so glad to hear that.
Loved every page of it, and it's such a delight for us to get to talk with you again.
Oh, yeah, it's been wonderful to talk to you as well. Thank you so much.
Yes, again, Liz, thanks so much. And boy, anybody, if you haven't got Anything Is Possible, go out and get it now, because it is really a terrific book. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Liz Strout, Anything is Possible. Outstanding book. You'll love every page, every character. It's so good. Get it wherever fine books are sold, and then go back and read the ones you've missed along the way.
Yeah, if you haven't read Amy and Isabel, Abide With Me, The Burgess Boys, go get them because they're fabulous books.
And we were saying this before the show, Bruce. If there's anybody out there writing better in American literature right now than Liz Strout, I don't know who it is.
I don't know who it is either, and I read a lot, and like you do, and I know a lot of writers, and I hear a lot of people talk, and everybody always says, wow, if you've read Strout's new book, It sets the bar really high.